God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers and wink his eyes, spoke, said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak, we share in the happenings of this world, but remain mindful that our true home is actually with Jesus Christ in his kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. A lot of people have been asking about my journey at the SEALFIT event, and I was gone. Thank you to Alex and Jonathan for making that happen, Randy, making sure that the show was so well taken care of. Appreciate that. I'll share with you some words about that journey. I'll let you know I just did a podcast on it, and it took me over an hour to tell the story. So I'll tell what I can here. That podcast will post in the next probably few hours. You can get a 7-day free trial to my video service. And if you do not dig it, you don't use it, please don't pay for it. It's video.thetoddhermanshow.com. If that's 26 cents a day, would do anything to change your lifestyle, please don't pay for it. But it's at video.thetoddhermanshow.com. I want to get to some news because there was a time I was told it was a very, very bad thing to have foreign interference in our elections. In fact, maybe you remember that. I was told that it was a very, very, in fact, it was treasonous to have foreign interference in elections. And it is. For Americans to have foreign nations meddle in our elections, that seems like treason to me. But that's changed now. It's a very, very good thing. Very good. And this is because the most important country in the entire world, there's never been a more important country than Ukraine. It's a democracy led by a dictator. It's a democracy where the dictator has seized media companies, outlawed some religious faiths, shut down some opposition party candidates and parties. It's a democracy where the dictator is a wildly wealthy man. And his country has been of normal wealth to well below it. It's a country that's the result of a coup, the leadership thereof, the results of a coup engineered by our own State Department and CIA. And that's not questionable. The recordings exist of them choosing who would be the next boss of Ukraine. But it's the most important country in the world. Far more important than, let's say, peace and stability in the region. Otherwise, there would be a distinct effort to force a peaceful solution. The United States has that bulk. If we decided to bring NATO to try to force a peaceful solution, we could do that. They won't, because Ukraine's the most important country in the world. It's the most vital country to Americans' national security ever. Nothing matters more. Not our own border. Not the fact that our country is being purposely overrun by cartels who are seizing not just apartment buildings, but neighborhoods. That doesn't matter. Ukraine is the focus. And I am so glad to see that once again, it's cool to have foreign interference in our elections.
It was surreal to have Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky come here and express his thanks and support for the effort that we're engaged in here. It was off the charts in terms of the kind of spine-tingling surreality that I've ever experienced. It's a recognition of the hard work that these machinist union people are engaged in to create the shells that Ukraine is lobbing back at the Russians on the eastern side of Ukraine.
What was the president's message that he wanted to deliver to you all?
Thank you, and we need more.
Well, Mitch McConnell has said that this war is helping us rebuild our manufacturing base. Yippee. Josh Shapiro, a corrupt Democrat politician, governor, decided to sign some missiles headed to destroy Russian lives. Now, there is a case for just war. I just got back from a weekend getting my my keister handed to me by a bunch of Navy SEALs. It's Italy. I've never been more grateful for a beating. I've never been more grateful to have just had my keister handed to me. My sense of gratitude for them is immense. So clearly I respect the warrior. This isn't about that. Zelensky, when he was here, said that this election, this fall, will decide the fate of his country. That's an endorsement. He was flown here, flown to Pennsylvania on a U.S. military aircraft to campaign for Kamala Harris, who is in favor of cartels continuing to seize our country. Do people understand the nature of the evil of a cartel? It's not just organized crime. I wish more people would understand the economics of this and the comparison to a military campaign and the spiritual cost. Here's the spiritual cost. Let me start in order. Cartels are run like business-military organizations. In other words, fascist organizations. Government, business become one. Drugs are easy to smuggle. They're easy to get into the country, particularly because we don't have a southern border. We don't. I mean, Texas is doing what it can to protect Texas, Florida, but we no longer have a southern border, nor do we have a western border, as the cartels several times a day land people on the shores of California. So the drugs are easy to bring in. The human bodies are easy to bring in. But those are simply the beginning of seizing territory. When the cartels seize a town or part of a town, they want to move out from that operating base and to seize others. They're not going to say, hey, let's not sell drugs to teenagers. That's not fair. They'll sell drugs to your teenagers, but they'll do something else. They will use the drugs to seize people's souls and to bring them into being sexually trafficked. This is the economics. Drugs people use once. The cartels have to remake the drug every time. They have to remake the supply. They have to go through the risk of cooking it and the cost of getting the items, the raw materials. In the case of sex trafficking a human being, they don't have to remake anything. They just have to provide enough food and water so that the body doesn't die, even as the soul is killed. But Ukraine, that's a focus. Kamala Harris getting the endorsement of the dictator of the most important country in the world. I mean, there's some desperation here. Since the debate, remember how we were told that Kamala Harris just absolutely dominated the debate? The New York Times, which of course is a vast right-wing conspiracy unto itself, has published the following data from many, many sources. In Arizona, Kamala Harris was up 5 until the debate came, then President Trump was up 5. That's a 10-point swing in favor of Trump. In Georgia, Trump had been up 4. He remained up 4 after the debate. In North Carolina, Harris had been up 2 after the debate. Trump was up 3. That's a 5-point swing in favor of President Trump. That's not Kamala Harris dominating the debate. But maybe the Zelensky endorsement will help. Kamala Harris is in favor of funding both sides of the war between Israel and Hamas. Although I predict this, if she were installed, or maybe even won election, she would, I think, end the funding to Israel, because I think her heart, such as it is, stands with Hamas, because they're very, very similar, informed by their faith. Kamala Harris, of course, a strict Christian. Well, that's what we're told. The fakery from this woman has no limits. She was on Oprah, Kamala Harris, and without getting her permission, the people who run Kamala Harris put this woman's face in one of their ads, and she chose to respond in brilliant fashion on social media.
To my Americans, let me make something perfectly clear, okay? I do not support Harris for president, okay? I want to be unburdened by who has been in the White House the last 3.5 years, okay? As I stand here today, on this stage, standing on this stage today, the day after yesterday, I just want you to know, okay, how I stand. And how I stand today is that I do not support Harris.
They used her face in a campaign commercial because the woman had the misfortune of finally getting to see Oprah and Kamala Harris was the guest. They didn't ask her permission. But there's this. During her so-called interview with Oprah, Kamala Harris spoke these words that are supposed to make her sound strong and visionary. And what makes this all worse is they were apparently coming from a teleprompter.
We love our country. I love our country. I know we all do. That's why everybody's here right now. We love our country. We take pride in the privilege of being American. And this is a moment where we can and must come together as Americans, understanding we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let's come together with the character that we are so proud of about who we are, which is we are an optimistic people. We are an optimistic people. Americans, by character, are people who have dreams and ambitions and aspirations. We believe in what is possible. We believe in what can be. And we believe in fighting for that. That's how we came into being. Because the people before us understood that one of the greatest expressions for the love of our country, one of the greatest expressions of patriotism, is to fight for the ideals of who we are, which includes freedom to make decisions about your own body, freedom to be safe from gun violence, freedom to have access to the ballot box, freedom to be who you are and just be, to love who you love openly and with pride, freedom to just be. And that's who we are. We believe in all that. And so this is a moment where we stand knowing what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against. It's what we're fighting for.
Thank you.
Wow. And it came off of a teleprompter, it seems. No, Twitter found it. Right in the background, there's a teleprompter so that Kamala Harris can share her true and real feelings with you. There was something else about our founders. They created the Second Amendment. Here's Kamala Harris, the gun grabber.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community. And just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affair.
Have you heard from...
She said that standing next to Gavin Newsom. But back on Oprah, here's Kamala Harris, the gun owner.
You said... You have guns. No, at the debate. At the
debate. I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
She's so joyful.
But we'll deal with that later.
She's so joyful. Kamala Harris is so joyful. Pure fakery. A woman who does not exist. Kamala Harris is defined by whatever words are in front of her. Her morals are not the rock, the solid rock of the Word of God. She's not informed by faith. She's informed by what she's told to be. When we come back, I'll share with you a bit about my seal fit journey. I've never been more grateful to have had my keister handed to me. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. You know that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we read, "It is not good that man is alone." We also know this, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God. For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Or am I trying to please man? If it were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." I'd like you to keep those in mind as I give you a tiny distillation of this event that I spent the last, well, several months prepping for. I started working out for this in March. It's seal fit. The event specifically is called Kokoro. That means part mind, part spirit, and it is to describe the warrior mindset. This is put on by an organization called Seal Fit, led by a man named Commander Divine, Mark Divine. And my first workout for this was a 12-hour workout, and that was a huge mistake. I learned a lot about myself in this event, a lot. I went down to California, flew down on Wednesday. The event began on Friday, and the event lasts 50 hours, and there is no sleep, and there's almost constant movement. Occasionally, you get a mealtime. You might get a half hour by yourself with your team. Never by yourself, ever by yourself. No one goes anywhere alone. You always take your swim buddy. When I got down there, I took an IV the night before to be extra hydrated. I went to the event and consumed 30 cups of electrolytes, two bananas, and then a third while we were there, a bunch of potassium. All this matters, by the way. I didn't perform the way I wanted to. I made a tremendous mistake. And I'll just tell you, the workout stuff doesn't matter that much. I didn't warm up my push-ups. That doesn't matter. I don't think it would have changed anything. When the Navy SEAL finally arrived, the guy I didn't learn his name from, he didn't tell us. It was only through hearing other coaches refer to him that I grew to understand his first name. Showed up and the attitude began right away. This man is about 6 feet tall. He's also about 6 feet wide at the shoulders. He is an enormous physical specimen. Coach Clint, there as well, just an incredible specimen, differently shaped. 28-inch waist and 60-inch chest. It began immediately. They walked up to us. Coach Rob did the talking. "Hey, you guys with hats, take them off. Stow them. Maybe you'll be able to earn them back." Then began the bullying. Quite on purpose. Quite on purpose to unsettle us. It worked on me. There's a lot of ways to stand, not like this guy. Do not cross your arms. And he gave us other directions of how we're not to hold our hands. And my friend Brian had warned me about this, my new friend, team member. He warned us, and there I was doing it. That came back to haunt me. That tendency to do these things with my hands. Then began the jog, light jog. But how long? He didn't tell us. Stay with me. He said an easy pace, I'm guessing a 9.5 minute mile, us with our boots and packs. We never packed at the point, our boots. And then all of a sudden he screamed at us, "Stop and drop push-ups now." Crazy thing. Push-ups have always been a strength of mine. Not in California. I didn't warm them up. And I gave in to becoming the person I wasn't supposed to be there. I started to focus on myself. It is not good that man is alone. I started to focus on myself. The stakes had changed suddenly. I still wanted to earn this guy's respect, seeking the approval of man. We got up from the push-ups and continued the run, but how long would the run be? It wasn't yet completely hot in California. I don't know what time this was. They took our watches. No one knew the time. I'm going to guess the run was maybe a couple of miles. And we ran down into a place that they very appropriately call the grinder. "Line up. Two sets of three now. Three, two, drop." We didn't do it fast enough. Those of you who've been to the armed forces, you get the drill. Then the water hoses came out, the water buckets, the movements, burpees to push-ups to flutter kicks to stand up to stand down. "Stop. Someone count to 1,001. Someone did. 1,001. That's how long you have to respond to a command. Go, drop. Well, I knew this was coming. But the crazy thing was my push-ups were gone. I couldn't do a decent 5 push-ups, and I could do 50 unbroken when I went down there. It got to me. Bear crawls and backwards bear crawls and then through the ice buckets, head first and out, and bear crawl to the next ice bucket and head first, and then burpees and a movement I can't describe because it's an obscene name, very difficult movement at this point. And I'm in my head, right there. One of the things they taught us is you have to focus on others. You have got to lift your head up and look around the battlefield. You've got to see what your team's doing. If you're struggling, you've got to say, guys, I'm struggling. Don't go dark. Don't go silent. Guess what I did? I went dark and silent. I was focused only on myself. Pathetic, Herman. You're pathetic. I'm looking at a performance drop. If this doesn't change, copy that, coach. Good copy. Now, physically, the running, the carrying, not a big deal. But man, that moment stole my momentum. And I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I actually stood up at a bit and made a terrible decision. One of the coaches came by and said, man, I'm glad you're not on my team. You're holding this team down. You are holding them back. You're going to destroy this team. I had two rules that would make me quit. One, putting a team at risk physically or of losing. Or two, medically. Well, he said that another time. It worked. I jumped up, said, drop on request. I'm out. How embarrassing. The woman who helped me into this, who had looked at my numbers, my performance in CrossFit exercises and Murph and push-ups and pull-ups, all the physical tests to even get into this thing, she came up to me. She said, I want to feel sorry for you, but I can't. You told me you trained for this. I said, Coach Mel, I trained for this. She goes, this is not your body. Your body is not failing you. This is your mind. Get out of your head. Focus on others. You have 15 seconds to get back with your team or leave. Do it now. I went back in, got with the team, and then something happened. I looked around. Everybody was struggling to some degree. I didn't yet get my push-ups back. I mean, I was doing them, but they were horrible. And then one of the coaches came by, and he said to me around a movement called an 8-count burpee, it hurts less if you do them quickly, and I did. And then I looked and saw some of the stronger guys struggling. And I realized, wait a minute. I become self-contained. I went dark. It is not good that man is alone. One of the guys came next to me during a bear crawl, said, glad you're back. You're important. You're important to this team. Wow. I'm important to this team. Coach Clint at one point came over to me as I was doing burpees, and I saw a penny, a stupid penny, in the mud because they're spraying us with water and dumping buckets of water. We're cold from the ice baths. And Coach Clint, as he said to me, he actually came and said, good job, Herman. First compliment I got, I found this lucky penny. I'm going to turn it into jewelry and keep it. That initial assault ended. Man, it was an assault. Coach Devine came out to speak to us, a legend in the SEAL community. He said, quitting begins in the mind. Well, I don't know if he'd witness what had just gone on, but it had begun in mine. Something changed. When I began to look at my unit, my team, and see other people struggling, something changed. These guys were younger and stronger and faster. And then one of them got called out during an evolution. More flutter kicks, drop, burpees, 8-count, go, push-ups, V-ups. We're going to plank until this is right. And one of the younger guys was not satisfying the coaches. And he goes, you look tired. Coach says, you look tired. Come up here. Come up here. Sit down. Give him a cup, bottle of water. He needs a bottle of water. He's really tired. And he made this young man sit down on a log and drink a bottle of water. He goes, I want you to relax while your teammates do push-ups. You finish that water and you do the counts. But you don't go easy on them. And one of the team members said, come back into the unit. He said, can I go back to the unit, coach? No, you will drink that water and relax because you're a super tired boy. So this brother was forced to count us through these push-ups as he consumed this water. And then he got to rejoin. Eventually, that ended, and we went on a run. How long? Don't know. Just run. And Coach Clint ran us to a place where we got to have lunch, and we got to bond. Now, I forgot something, a bit of an important detail. They gave us our implements, a bag into which we're going to put 20 pounds of sand and our water bottle and our dowel, which is called our weapon. It's a 3.5-inch diameter tube filled with sand, weighs 30 pounds. They gave that to us, and we did not properly lay them out. We just sat them down wherever. Coach Rob, the big, thick man, wigged. Look at that. Look at that. Fix that. 5, 4, down, drop. And I realized everything got to be in order. So when we got to lunch, we obsessively laid out our packs. The logo's this way, guys. This has got to be this. And I centered everything. Got to go eat. And here's where things got hairy. This was, I'm guessing, noon. We didn't have a watch. Not to be blunt, but I couldn't produce any urine. There was nothing there. I had drunk at that point at least 3/4 of a gallon of water. And man, I hydrated before the event. We did another drill, and this is where things really changed for me. We had to fill up these plastic bags with sand, and they had to weigh exactly 20 pounds, and we had to guess at this. And when this young guy, this incredible young man, was having trouble securing his bag, and Coach was screaming at him, look, it's not like you're holding everybody up. It's not like you got 10, 9, 8, drop push-ups because he can't do the bag. And this brother looked at me and goes, what am I doing wrong? And he missed it, but not soon enough, and now it was time to pay the man. And this young guy, for some reason, bear crawled over by himself in this sandy area where we just had lunch. And suddenly, the Navy SEALs really got on us. Why is he alone? Why is he alone? I mean, obviously, he made the decision to go over there, but why is he alone? Brian, one of the guys on the team, said, no swim, buddy, coach, my bad. And we paid the man. I don't remember the movements, probably burpees in the sand. I had made this consistent mistake of screwing up where my hands went. And every time that happened, there was a penalty in the penalty books. And Coach was tracking this. And I felt horrible. Like, I am costing this team work. But they never said anything negative. They did something else. At lunch, we talked about, let's call out hands. I said, yeah, for me. He goes, for everybody. So every time a drill was done, we went hands, hands, and we'd put our hands up to make sure that we weren't violating this rule anymore. After lunch, we went through a tremendously difficult evolution in this deep, deep sandy dirt of bear crawl sprints and then turning around, and each one of us had to pull these sandbags that eventually amounted to probably 200 pounds. And every round had to be faster than the round before, or there was a penalty. And during that time, this young man, Teddy is his name, he noticed a couple of times that Coach had to call me out for my knee dropping before the end point. So Teddy crawled next to me. And he said the entire time, I'm with you, Herman. I'm with you, buddy. I'm right here. Normally, that would have felt like pandering. It felt like love. Something happened to that team. We were becoming a unit. It is not good that man is alone. After these moments, and after a couple of different evolutions, we had to carry a massive weight on a sacred item. I'm not going to say what the item is. That's private to people who go through Kokoro, but it's a sacred item of 185 pounds. We carried this for several hours, intermittently stopping and doing sprints up and down these hills. And then this. I was hit with a full body cramp like I've never had before in my life. My entire left leg locked up, my back locked up, my left core locked up, and I screamed and fell to the ground. You know what happened? The whole team surrounded me, even the SEALs surrounded me. Herman, Herman, I said, guys, it's a cramp, it's a full body cramp. I rolled over on my stomach. The medic came over, gave me salt tabs and electrolytes to drink. I drank it. I said, hey, I'm in my stomach for something. Let's, aren't we doing push-ups? And we did them. Coach Clint, when I stood up, said, you got your push-ups back. Wow, I did. The push-ups were a non-issue. Second time I heard, good job. Gosh, that meant a lot. We continued to carry this implement intermittently, sprint up these hills, and I'm talking about half-mile sprints up these sand hills. We did it as a team. At one point in the middle of one of these evolutions, one of the guys decided to yell out, positive, present, optimistic, positive, present, optimistic, and we did it. We chanted it as a team. I'll tell you how this concludes, and then we'll get to the Tower of Babbling, because the change that happened was phenomenal. I've never been more grateful to have my keister handed to me. Get you the details next on The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. In the midst of just recounting my weekend at the Kokoro camp put on by Seal Fit, if you missed this, after an ignominious opening, that including me quitting for about 30 seconds before Coach Melanie got in my face and put me back in the unit. So grateful for her. What a beautiful, wonderful act of screaming at me. It had gone on to now, I'm guessing, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And importantly, not trying to be gross, importantly, the last time I was able to produce urine was at about 7:30 in the morning. It's 4 or 5 in the afternoon. We're up in the sand hills above our base camp, which is called the Grinder. We've been carrying this 200-pound implement, always 4 of us carrying it, switching out. Every time we set it down, we had to do something, burpees or push-ups or thrusters. Every time we set it down, this sacred implement. And I'm not going to say what it is because that belongs to Kokoro and the men who go through that. There were 6 of us there. I was the oldest by about 10 years. The youngest there was 21 years old. Teddy, great guy. All of those teammates I'll remember for the rest of my life and bonded with them because something changed. I began enjoying it. Even with the cramp that hit me so hard, I began enjoying it. The sprints with the sandbags, the jokes. We began to joke a little bit with the coaches. At one point, I said to Coach Rob, this man who stands 6 foot tall and 6 feet wide, such a physical specimen. Seal, obviously. I said to Coach, while we were drinking water, do I own the record for the violations of where I put my hands? He goes, today? Yeah. I go, no, overall. He goes, oh, no. He goes, you know what's worse, Herman? He goes, all of you should hear this. There are people who violate those rules and they don't care. I go, wait a minute, they don't care? He goes, no, they don't care. He goes, you've asked, like, you bugged me 3 times to let you pay the punishment. That's not going to happen. One member screws up, everybody pays. But yeah, there are people who don't care. I go, I bet they don't last long. He goes, we make sure they don't last long. Okay. Something changed. We began to support each other openly, speaking, vulnerably. My grip's going out, guys. I need help. One brother said, man, I'm hurting. So we helped. Something had changed. We came across this huge hill, walking on this blacktop, carrying this huge weight. And we stopped one more running of the hills. We didn't know it was one more at that time. Half mile up. It was about a half mile straight up. My legs are cramped. My core is cramped. I want very much to continue this run. And I did make it up. I'd made the last run in fourth place. This time I was sixth, but not that bad. I wasn't that far behind other guys. And Coach Clint said, "You're putting out." That's Navy SEAL speak for that's effort. It was probably, well, it was nearing sunset, 6:30. And I still could not produce urine. And I went to the medic and said, "Hey, Curtis, how concerned should I be that I haven't been able to pee?" He goes, "At all? Not since 7:30. It's not great. More salt tabs, more electrolytes. We had an hour to make it down carrying this implement, and we made it. And Coach Rob came up and showed us his watch. He goes, "In case you think I was kidding about the time, here it is, counting down, 9, 8, 7, 6. We got to spend a half an hour on our own, eating and stretching, and my body locked up, just utterly seized. And my brothers noticed it, asked if they could help. I said, "Just need to stretch." Curtis came over and made me drink, and I'm saying made me drink, a gallon of electrolytes. And it didn't change. It didn't. Ultimately, I went to Curtis and said, "What's the state of play?" He goes, "I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear because you're really starting to find your stride. I do not think you should continue." "What's the ultimate risk?" He goes, "You could be on kidney dialysis by the end of the day. You could be killing your kidneys." Wow. You know, it's weird. I've never been in a situation where I was so dry that I could feel my tear ducts open, but no tears came out. I so wanted to continue. I couldn't. Ultimately, another brother couldn't continue medically. A third missed, just by minutes, one of the must-stay evolutions in order to stay for the whole weekend. Just missed. 50% attrition rate. Three of our brothers secured. They made it the full 50 hours. Will, Connor, and Carlos made it. And you know what's incredible? I feel just as happy as if I'd made it, because in a way I did. That community is so utterly supportive. I got notes from each of those men saying, "You really put out while you could." And then this happened. We had not been allowed across the street where the SEALs had their stuff set up. In fact, Coach Rob screamed at one of my teammates for staying in that dirt. "Hey, this is our side. You're over there. You do not come over to our side." Once Brian and Will and I were out, Will was getting changed. Brian and I were standing there. Coach Rob, that same man, said, "Hey, Herman, Brian, please come and eat with us." "You sure, Coach?" "Yes, please." We went over and we ate. Coach walked up to me and goes, "Herman, none of that was personal. You did great. You did. You did great." I said, "Coach, I didn't take any of it personally. I learned so much from you. I am so grateful to all of you. I needed this." See, here's what I found, guys. My training for this was insular. It was self-centered. It was never with the team. It was never randomized by having to pace with others. I did it alone. It is not good that man is alone. When I began to lean into the strength of my teammates, everything's changed. Everything. Everything. I'm about 90% sure I'm going to go back to Kokoro, but not the way I did this time. And my why has changed. You want to know what my why is now? I want to be a man worthy of being able to stand with the men who make it through the crucible. That's my why. Because those men are selfless. Those men help others. Those men sacrifice for team. Such an honor to get my keister handed to me by those people, and to see God's face in one moment. That help from Teddy, "I'm with you, Herman." Brian, who told me, "Todd, you have to go talk to the medic. You have to go talk to him." And then this, in the midst of this sweat, all of us struggling, all of us now only an hour to get this huge implement back to camp, One of my brothers spoke and said, will you look at that view? There it was. Beautiful, beautiful wineries and desert. We looked at it. Coach Clint was next to me. I said, do you ever have moments like that in combat? And he said, we'll talk about that one day. What an experience. Thank you, God, for the resources to do it. To Will and Connor, to Carlos, to Teddy, to Brian, all of you got me through that. I couldn't have been more blessed to stand even for that 12 hours with you guys. Thanks for listening to that. Now we'll get into the Tower of Babylon. Here's what it is. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babylon.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babylon.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That is why we put them in dormitories. And they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, almost always three sound bites. Kamala Harris likes to pretend a lot of things. In this case, how a woman named Amber Thurman died.
And her name, and we will speak her name, Amber Nicole Thurman. Amber Nicole Thurman.
Amber Nicole Thurman.
That's right. And she had her future all planned out. And it was her plan.
Well, that's not what happened. What happened was this. This young woman had ingested the chemical abortion pill regimen, which consists of the drug mifepristone, misoprostol, and it apparently ended her life, designed to end the life of the embryo, the human being within her. It apparently ended hers. It was not denial to abortion care. It was the so-called abortion pill, which is very much that, an abortion pill. But truth is not a thing that Kamala Harris respects or can even recognize. Hillary Clinton likes to pretend a lot of things. In this case, that Donald Trump is the one bringing autocracy to America.
This is an election not just between two people, two tickets, two parties. It really is an election between democracy and autocracy, freedom and oppression, but also between leadership that wants to bring us together to do big things.
That is a woman who would like to see people put in jail for making social media posts with which she disagrees. Speaking about Donald Trump bringing autocracy to the United States. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Michelle Obama also likes to pretend a lot of things, like being against folks having more than they need. And in this case, she pretends the new drink line she's selling is healthy.
I learned the hard way that a lot of those products that were being marketed as healthy weren't actually healthy. And that made me furious. Look, all I wanted were good products, good information, good partners who didn't just see my kids as profit generators for their bottom lines. We can make products that are tasty and healthy and good for the bottom line. And I'm putting some skin in the game.
She's putting some skin in the game with the billions of dollars that magically appeared into the Obama coffers right after Barack Obama left office. Because they're expert film producers. So they got film contracts. Billions of dollars. The drink she's talking about, maybe you could drink water, throw in some pink sea salt if you don't want to be overhydrated. Here's what's in her drink. Carbonated water, which creates inflammation in the body and is not good for the digestive system. Apple juice concentrate, pure refined sugar. That's what that is. Soluble vegetable fiber. That might slow down the hit on your blood sugar a tiny bit. Natural flavors. Meaning what? Meaning stuff that tastes sweet You know what that does? It causes your body to store fat. When you have really concentrated sweet things and or refined sugar, it causes your body to store whatever you're having as fat, because God didn't design us to have access to such refined sweets. Citric acid, lime juice concentrate, that's also sugar, ascorbic acid, and stevia leaf extract. That's needed. That's really, really important. And it's healthy. It's none of those things. It's more money for the Obamas as they pretend to be against folks getting more than they need. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics. And we are very proud of Bidenomics.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
There's one more thing I would share about this experience at SealFit Kokoro. And it's this. I want you to hear the note that Coach Mel wrote me afterwards. And I wrote to her, basically giving her a distillation of what I told you today. My immediate discoveries about myself, my holes in my character, my mental game, ways in which I lack preparedness, and the great joy I had, the great gratitude I feel for going through this process and having these things shown to me in vibrant colors, to be able to stand even for 12 hours with this team, to become part of this team, to see three of them complete this mission. Oh man, I'm thrilled for them. This is what she wrote back to me. Listen to this community. Hoo-yah, Todd, such great takeaways. You're brave and adaptable in the face of VUCA. And that's a term for SealFit, meaning an uncontrollable situation. You showed up with positive energy and a can-do attitude that is more than 99% of the population. When you discovered you might not be fully prepared, you stayed the course until you were forced to leave. That is exactly what I would hope you would do. You're an incredible, strong, and inspiring human. Please reach out for any assistance. I'm here to help. Kuya Herman. Love, Mel. You know what I see in that? Pure positivity. You know what I see in pure positivity? The very author of it. He invented love, and he is love. And so God gives us permission to speak again together. May his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.